We want to thank Zach for that beautiful offertory. If you will, turn again to Matthew 6. Matthew 6. This morning we started at verse 6 of Matthew 6, and we went up to verse 9. I read verse 9, but we didn't talk about it. This evening we're going to start at verse 9 and go through verse 13. This morning we were talking about the mechanics of praying and what constitutes real prayer. So we've been told by Jesus that it's not the number of words, but the quality of those words. We learned that we should not tell God what to do or what is happening. We don't need to do that. He already knows. And one very important thing that we should not do is to tell God how to answer our prayers. He always knows best. Prayer is supposed to be communication between you and God. If someone overhears your prayer, it should not matter. Unless, of course, it is something that's very personal to you. And those kind of prayers should be in secret or in silence. God hears your thoughts. He can read your heart. And so you don't have to talk to him audibly. He knows what you are thinking. He knows what you are asking in your heart. And so we need to keep that in mind. Christ's recommendation to his disciples was for prayer to be in secret. Go to your closet, do your praying there. Our prayers, we should have a place where we pray. There's nothing wrong with that. I have a place that I like to pray. I've always had places, the Lord has always given me places where I can go and pray and be by myself and not be distracted. And that's very special. And I hope it's special for each one of you. I hope you find that place that you can have a special time with God, because that's what prayer is supposed to be. So, as we look at a little more about prayer tonight, let's ask God again to help us that our communications with him might be proper and that they might be effective. Father, we come to you because now we are looking into your word. And Father, speak to us from your word tonight. Speak to our hearts. Speak to our hearts in ways that we will know that it is your will for us to do the things that we are doing. Be with those who cannot be here tonight. Be with A.B. and Nancy as they are at the hospital with Ryan. And Father, for any others who cannot be here for reasons of physical infirmity, we would ask that your Holy Spirit will minister to the needs of their hearts. And Father, we will praise you for what you do here. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Jesus didn't just leave his disciples adrift on their own with regards to prayer. He gave them a pattern that they could use, and that pattern will work for each one of us. And we are going to look at that in just a minute. But that, if we use that pattern, there are some things we can learn. And so as we look at Matthew 6, 9 through 13, we all have learned to pray that prayer in various forms. In our scriptures, there are two places where this prayer is given, and there's a little difference in each one. But I'm going to ask you to pray with me tonight, audibly, as we look at verses 9 through 13. And may this be your prayer offered to God at this time. So let's audibly read these verses together, Matthew 6, 9 through 13. And Jesus said, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Now there is another version. And I want you, if you will, turn to Luke chapter 11 for just a moment. Then we'll go back to Matthew 6. But Luke chapter 11. Some of you may have grown up in churches of different denominations. And some churches, they change some of the things in what we recognize and what we have learned as the Lord's Prayer. And this is why, is based upon these verses, Luke 11, verses 2 through 4. And let's pray that together. "When ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." You know, both of these prayers, both forms, are basically saying the same thing. They carry the same substance, the same meaning. As you can see, there's not a whole lot of difference. They start off the same way, and they cover about the same things. The difference is just in the way things are expressed. Both prayers use the same words for the opening phrase. And this way of addressing God establishes a relationship. And remember, Jesus taught his disciples to pray this prayer. And so the opening verses establish a relationship that is absolutely necessary if we are going to communicate with God. There must be a close relationship to God for us to be successful in our praying. I'm going to say that again. There must be a close relationship to God if we are to be successful in our praying. Remember this morning I talked about Psalm 66, 18, "The Lord will not hear me if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." We have to keep that in mind. So we need to be in a right relationship with God when we pray. Have you ever thought about it? What kind of a relationship does God have with the agnostic? He loves him. What kind of a relationship does the agnostic or the atheist have with God? None. Who do they pray to? Some do. I've heard one man I can think of who was an avowed atheist. I heard him turn to God one time and ask for something. You know, it's really important, if we're going to pray, that we have a relationship with God, one that is on God's terms, not our own. How would anyone address God who didn't have a personal relationship with him. Other than the sinner's prayer, where we go to God and we ask him to forgive our sin and to commit his will in our life and take over control of our life. There's only two groups of people that can expect God to hear their prayers. You ever thought about that? The Christian, of course, is one. The other is the Jew. His people, his chosen people. But again, their hearts have to be right with him also. Could it be possible that any of us would just assume that God would hear our prayers? Just think, I want you to think about this tonight. Think of all the people all over the, let's say this country, let's just confine it to the borders of this country or this continent. Think of all the people who are going to be praying tonight to God who don't know him. And they think that this time that they invest in prayer is going to profit them. Now, I understand God in mercy, God in his grace may answer some prayers, but if we go by Psalm 66:18, there is no reason he needs to listen to any of them. And think of all the time that's going to be invested tonight by people going to God that he will not hear. Now, you and I were probably in that group at one time or another. I know from the time I was, say, 14 or 15, I was looking for something. I didn't know what I was looking for. And I prayed to God. I spent a lot of time praying to God. And yet my heart was full of sin. You know, we have something very, very special. We have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a relationship with God. And I think of parents all over this land tonight who are teaching their children to pray at night. They take them to bed and they pray with them, you know. God bless grandma, God bless papa, you know. God bless my dog and my cat. And yet, are those prayers being heard? No. How sad. How sad. We have a chance to do something for people, for lost people in the world. Not just keep them out of hell, but show them how to be in a relationship with God, with the Lord Jesus Christ, with God's Holy Spirit. As Jesus taught his disciples, he taught them that there has to be a relationship. No one but a child of God can approach his throne. What are the first words of the prayers we just prayed? Our Heavenly Father, our Father. That is a relationship. That's a son-daughter-father relationship. We have to have a relationship if we want our prayers answered. And we should never take God for granted. Hallowed be thy name. We are showing respect to God. The kind of respect that we need to approach him, not casually, because you are talking to the creator of the universe, the one who oversees everything that occurs. and we should pay him reverence. He is God. He is not our servant. We are supposed to be his servants. And so when we approach him, we should approach him reverentially. So there has to be a relationship, and the relationship is that of the father, son, father, daughter. And the next part of the prayer requires reverence. We should never take God for granted. We should always reverence him. We must reverence him and not approach him flippantly. He is God. He is not the big kahuna. He is not the man upstairs. He's not the big guy. He is God. And so when we approach him, we should approach him as God. When Jesus taught his disciples this prayer, he was teaching them to come in humility. Not come telling God what he was supposed to do for us or anyone else. We covered that this morning. We are not to tell God what to do, how to answer our prayers. We are to come humbly, seeking favor from God, not demanding service. He is not our servant. We are to be his servants. And then we are to reverence God. And I've thought about how we're going to deal with this, but there are places where we should not pray to God. There are places that we should not do our Bible reading out of respect to God and respect to God's word. I do visit homes. And there's one home in particular that I visit that the Bible is in the bathroom. That is not a place to do your Bible reading. That is not even a place to pray to God. Would you invite the President of the United States to come in and visit you in a bathroom? Of course you wouldn't. So why would you invite God, the God of the universe, to meet you there? So there are places where it's not proper, out of reverence for who he is. And then we should not tell God how to fix things or how to deal with us. Would you ask your boss to stop what he's doing and go get you a cup of coffee? Of course you would. And yet sometimes that's what we do with God. We treat him as a servant because we're not being reverential. We're not thinking our prayers through. We're not praying with mental organization. Jesus taught his disciples to say, "Hallowed be thy name." And that's actually a blessing that we're pronouncing upon God, realizing who he is. So, if you're unexpectedly, and I said the same thing this morning and I'll say it again because it is important. When we pray publicly, if unexpectedly you are asked to have a word of prayer, there is nothing wrong with stopping and thinking about who you're going to be approaching and why you are approaching him. To think about your prayer. Now that gets us to the first verse. Verse 9. Let's look at verse 10. We're back in Matthew 6, by the way. This verse is twofold. The first part is a petition that the kingdom of Jesus Christ might come soon. And the second part is a request that might bear some consequences depending upon the situation. You say, what are you talking about, brother? It is a proper request, but it may not be exactly what you want personally when you pray, may thy will be done. You may not be where God wants you. You may not be doing what God wants you to do. And so when you pray, may your will be done, you are opening yourself up for God, perhaps, not necessarily, but perhaps to make some differences in your life. We're asking God to be free to do His will in our life, His perfect will. And what if you are living in His permissive will? What if He is permitting you to do what you're doing? Because it's not really so bad, it's not His perfect will, but you say, God, I want your will, and He gives you His perfect will. It could remove us from a place of personal comfort to a place of sacrifice. Are you willing to let Him do that? Really? I believe that it was Mary, Queen of Scots, when she was told that people didn't have any bread, said, let them eat cake. And yet, if we tell God, God, I want your perfect will in my life, it may change where we are and what we're doing. Now, verse 12 is for some a real problem to pray. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. I want the forgiveness of God in my life. And we are asking Him to forgive us as we forgive others. Now, people, this is not just words. This is situations. That jerk that cuts you off in traffic. Do you pray for him? Lord, bless that man. May he have a good day. I'll tell you what. You might be better, a better person than I am. But you know what? We are supposed to forgive. And that's just a little thing. I do remember one time, my wife can verify this. We were in a grocery store, and there was a very obnoxious woman in there. I mean, she was mouthing off about everything. And we were shopping, and every time we'd pass her in an aisle, she was mumbling about something or criticizing something. And finally, we had all the things we wanted. This was up in New Jersey. Finally, we had purchased all the items we wanted. We had them in our basket. And we headed for checkout, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw she was headed for checkout, too. And so I went real fast to try and get ahead of her. And I didn't make it. You know, it's pretty hard to love somebody who just beat you up. Pride-wise. So folks, we do need to forgive. If we want to be forgiven, even for the little things that we do that we sometimes are not even aware of. There's so much going on in everyone's life that you just constantly have to keep going over and over and looking that you're not holding any grudges, that you're not taking any offenses, but that you are loving folks. And you know how hard that is to do, really? My wife and I used to have a week or 2 weeks of deaf camp down at the camp down in Rio Grande Valley. And so we learned American Sign Language, ASL. And sometimes when other drivers would do things, she may be embarrassed, but she would sign letters. And the letters were I, D, idiot. And I told her one day somebody passing us was going to be deaf and they would understand what she was saying. Is that being forgiving? Well, maybe, maybe not. So, when it tells us that we have to forgive, we do have to forgive if we want God to forgive us. And that goes to our prayer. If we are trying to pray to our Heavenly Father, if we are petitioning Him or needing help from Him, and we need to make sure that our hearts are so that He can hear our prayers and answer our prayers. What about the person who hurts your feelings? Not necessarily just once, but every time they come around, they hurt your feelings. They say something that, you know, a put down of some kind or criticism of some kind. I'll tell you how I handle that. It does help me to forgive them if I think of them as just too stupid to know better. Now, that's not really forgiving them, folks. I think that Jesus wants me to love them on behalf of Him and to do good for them, even if the good is thrown back in my face. You've had it happen to you. What's the consequence if I don't forgive? Same consequence you'll suffer if you don't forgive. That's sin, folks. And the Lord will not hear me if I regard iniquity in my heart. The moment that I am unwilling to forgive, I'm cut off from God. Some people wonder why they're not getting through while the sky seems to be brass. Their prayers are not being answered and they don't feel like they're really communicating with God because of sin. The forgiveness, oh, we can say the right words, and I do see this, and I see this often. I hear people say, well, I forgave so-and-so for what they did to me. And then I detect the bitterness and the anger, and forgiveness really didn't take place. It took place in the mouth, but it did not take place in the heart. And so when we forgive, this is where it needs to really happen. Not here. Forgiveness does not take place in the mouth, it takes place in the heart. God doesn't pay attention so much to the mouth, but he does pay attention to the heart. And so in our prayers, our heart attitude is going to make all of the difference as to whether or not God actually hears our prayers. Remember what the Bible says about the heart? Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Sometimes, people, we deceive ourselves because we don't know our wicked heart. We let our wicked heart deceive us. The next part of the Lord's Prayer is a petition for help from our Heavenly Father. And lead us not into temptation. Did you know, if it were not for God, most of us would be in trouble? Because God looks over us and he takes care of the temptations that are put in our path. I'll give you an example. I'm using myself, so you don't have to, you know, I don't want to embarrass anybody, but there may be someone like this out there. If you put me in a room with a bunch of lemon-filled donuts and there was nobody around and nobody knew how many donuts were there, it could be possible that I might eat one of those donuts even if I knew it would be wrong. But God will not do that to us. For he will make a way of escape for every temptation. That's what he says. If we are tempted, he will make a way of escape. And there is nobody sitting in this auditorium tonight that is not capable of any sin possible, even murder. You say, oh no, I would never do that. Many years ago, I was so surprised to realize that I was contemplating murder because of a situation that made me angry. So don't think you're above that. And if it were not for the grace of God, we could all be involved in some really wicked things. But God has said, and we ask in this psalm or in this prayer that Jesus gave us, deliver us from temptation. And we need to pray that for each other. We need to have some accountability to each other. You need to pick a prayer partner, someone who can pray with you, even if it's just on the telephone because you can't get together because you've got different schedules. But have an accountability partner, someone who can help you resist temptation. I know in the Alcoholics Anonymous, they have a 12-point program, and one of the points is that they have an accountability partner. And if they feel like they're going to sin, if they're going to go back to drinking again, they can call that partner, and that partner will come and help them. We all need to do that. We need to have accountability partners. Mine is sitting right there. And for some of you, that will work. For some, it may not. But think about it. Pray about it. And let God give you someone that you can be accountable to when you get into temptation, when you know you're going to go astray. So God is able to deliver us from sin if we let Him. That's why Jesus told the disciples to pray this particular prayer. Now Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, he had this to say in 1 Corinthians 10, 12 and 13. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So He's going to put a door in that room with all those lemon-filled donuts that I can go out. You know why we sin? Because we don't ask God to help us not to sin. Many times we get into sin because we haven't prayed and asked God to help us. We haven't anticipated the situations we might find ourselves in. And we need to do that. And if we will, God will answer. He's there for your good. He's there to do you good. For some of us, the only way that we're not going to sin is to let God prevent it from happening. Jesus instructed His followers that they should want the same thing that He wanted. They should want the will of God dominant in their life. You know, we should not be working at cross purposes to God, and sometimes we do. If we seek the will of His Holy Spirit, if we try and listen for that whole still small voice of the Holy Spirit, God will lead us where He wants us to be. You know, one day, Jesus is going to come back. He's going to come back for the church. And then a few years later, He's going to come back to this earth to set up His millennial kingdom, when He will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But until that time, we're going to have to pray that our actions will glorify Him. And that is a very legitimate prayer, folks, that we pray that we glorify Jesus with our lives. That means we don't throw stones at the neighbor's cat. Little things. We don't rake our leaves over into the neighbor's yard. We don't pray for a wind to come and blow them over there. There's a lot of little things that we do that we need to be thinking about. When I ask God to deliver us, and we pray, Connie and I pray every morning for all of you, that God will deliver you from temptation, that God will keep you safe. You know, at that point, we are acknowledging that bad things do happen to people. But it's the permissive will, or sometimes it's the divine will of God. It's only by the grace of God that we are not one of the people that those bad things happen to. But if God permits the evil to come into our life, He has a purpose for it, And we know that he has the power to bring us through it. Many of us, lately, within the last year or two, have had things come into our lives that we would not ask for. Illness, cancer, loss of loved ones. God permits it because God has promised what? In Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who is called according to his purpose. I hope that this will help you with your prayers. It's my prayer that you be more successful in your praying. God is waiting to receive your prayer if your heart is right with him. And God has already planned, before you pray, before you ask, God has already planned and prepared the answer. So folks, I pray that you will be able to follow the leading of God's Holy Spirit in your prayer life, and that there will be nothing in your life that would keep God from hearing and answering your prayers. Let's pray. Father, without you, we really can do nothing. And without your leading, without your guiding, without the circumstances that you prepare each day for each one of us, we cannot succeed for you. But Father, we would ask tonight, as we close, that you will help us to pray according to your perfect will, to pray according to the leading of your Holy Spirit, and Father, to glorify you with our prayers and with our lives, because Jesus Christ died for our sin and rose again for the promise of our eternal life. And one day, Father, we look forward to the time that we will be with you. And Father, the time when we will be praising you for all that you have done. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being here tonight. I hope this will help some. You're dismissed.